This is the English translation of a message delivered by Pastor Hon on October 19, 2025. The message title is The Battle Against the Devil. The scripture passage is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Good morning, and let us read today's scripture passage together. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. It took about 4 years, but I have finally reached the concluding section of the Epistle to the Ephesians. The content we just read, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and following, could be considered, in a sense, the pinnacle of the book of Ephesians. This is because encountering Jesus Christ, believing in God, and knowing God also means realizing that up until that point, we had been living our lives fighting the wrong enemy. It means realizing we had been viewing and fighting things that were not worth fighting, things that were not our true adversaries. The enemies we fight are not the people, things, or events we see. They are those that may rarely be visible, but certainly exist, whose very purpose is to oppose God. They know that attacking human beings created in the image of the one true God brings God the deepest sorrow. They are the God of this world, who seeks to keep people imprisoned in a realm of darkness where the true God is unknown. The battle of Christians who believe in the triune God is precisely the battle against the devil and evil spirits who craft the currents and path of this world, cunningly maneuvering to keep people trapped in an atmosphere devoid of the true God. This battle is also a major element inherent in following Christ. The epistle to the Ephesians was written as if to fulfill the need for us to confirm by whom our faith was intended, what this God who intended it does for us, what he expects of us, and what and how we should fight. Chapters 1 through 3 taught us the content of our faith and doctrine, what we believe, what we have been given, and what noble status we have been granted by that gift. Then, from chapter 4 through verse 9 of chapter 6, it teaches us the practice of faith, how that the belief should manifest in our lives, and the specific areas where this practice takes place. Now, beginning here in verse 10 of chapter 6, it instructs us, in the field practicing our faith, a struggle is inevitable. But do not mistake our enemy. Stand firm, knowing you have been established as one who can clearly see who the enemy is. Not mistaking your enemy is absolutely essential for preserving your faith. And equip yourselves properly with the necessary tools for this battle. This is a spiritual warfare. It teaches us about the true substantive battle hidden behind and transcending the visible world. The highest and deepest battle for Christians, and the armor required for it. As we have seen up until last week, our adversary is not human. Yet this world seems to revolve as if it were built on competing with people, fighting with people, comparing ourselves to others. Study, sports, economics, art, science, music, politics, history, fashion, comedy, parenting, eating, playing, talking, driving, conversation, career and experience. In every single field, no, in every spiritual, sphere of human life, it would not be an exaggerating to say, yes, that is true. In this world, we might be led to believe that tasting victory in these battles is what guides us to happiness. Yet, God sharply teaches us that is not that battle for us Christians. What it means to encounter the true Lord God and believe in Jesus Christ is to realize we were led before believing in Jesus to believe that is our battle, and to come to know humanity's essential battle is to acknowledge, understand, and discern the existence of the enemy, the devil, who manipulates us in this way, and to fight against it. As recorded in the Bible, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, because the evil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. By his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who are their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Jesus' enemy was not man, it was the devil. The devil was the one against whom the Lord Jesus fought. Therefore, for example, when addressing Peter, the disciple who had sinned before the Lord Jesus, he did not say, "Get behind me, Peter." Instead, recognizing the true source of evil, Satan, who had seized Peter's heart and was trying to turn him away from God. Jesus rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan. You are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Of course, I believe it is certain that he also admonished and encouraged Peter himself, saying, "Peter, recognize that you are being deceived by a false sense of righteousness, which makes you think you are facing God, even though your heart is captivated by Satan and not turned towards God." But more than that, it seems he clearly taught with his own words that we must recognize the true enemy we should fight and must not mistake who our enemy is. Therefore, the Apostle Paul, the author of Ephesians, teaches us with deep concern that the believers in God and Jesus Christ still mistake their enemy, making people the adversary, and even worse, making fellow believers who share the same faith as their enemy. He warns, as the body of Christ, the church, you must not mistake the enemy. We Christians, whose spiritual eyes have been opened by the Holy Spirit, do not fight against people. We fight against the devil. When it comes to the devil, I had an unforgettable memory. When I became a Christian in America during my third year of university, Pastor Paul Kim, who was the youth pastor at the church I attended, invited me, "Would you like to join me on a one-month short-term mission trip to Russia and Kazakhstan?" I was humbled that he would invite me, having been baptized less than 6 months prior, but I thought, if Pastor Paul is going, it should be fine, and ultimately decided to go. About 2 months before departure, we who were going to this mission trip began preparing for the short-term mission trip through prayer and the Bible study with the other young people going and Pastor Paul. One evening, all the young people going to this trip gathered at the church for an all-night prayer meeting. We brought sleeping bags to the chapel and began praying together. Then one of the young men felt a gaze upon him. He opened his eyes and looked towards the pulpit. There, something was perched on the edge of the pulpit with long claws hooked around it. It had large wings and eyes, white sclera, with tiny black pupils the size of rice grains, gleaming sharply. Its entire body seemed shrouded in black darkness. It was staring at us who were praying with a murderous intent, as if thinking, "Shall I devour you all?" The young man intuitively knew it's Satan, an evil spirit. Then he closed his eyes again and began praying to God. When everyone finished praying, that young man told us about the demonic presence that had been glaring at us while we prayed. We all shared and prayed together, recognizing that Satan hates us praying to God the Father and Jesus the Son through the Holy Spirit, seeks to hinder us, and detests the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Such beings are precisely adversaries we Christians must fight. Then we went to Kazakhstan. There, we encountered situations where people fell into demon-possessed states, either on the roadside or during worship gatherings. They would try to shake people off with tremendous forces and deep booming voices that seemed to come from nowhere. So we divided up to restrain them, and together with Pastor Paul, we began praying over them, speaking the name of the Lord Jesus and His blood. Both the persons being prayed for and the pastors and the young people praying were drenched in sweat. After praying for about an hour, they gradually began to regain their composures, and complexion changed completely, looking refreshed, and they seemed completely unaware of what had just happened to them. Later, when we spoke with them, they shared things like, "I was troubled by family matters and harbored resentment towards God," or, "I used to come to worship every week, but recently I'd become addicted to alcohol and stopped coming. I realized Satan attacks by exploiting people's spiritual weaknesses." Less than a year after becoming a Christian, so I was shown such forces hostile to God, fellows called demons, those called the demons or Satan, in a visible way. From that moment, I could no longer deny that Jesus Christ is God, that demons exist to directly oppose and deny this truth, and that these beings shape the world's currents continually instilling disobedience towards God in people's heart. From that time on, the stories in the Bible about the demons and those possessed by evil spirits began to feel as real and pressing to me as if they were happening to me personally. And I thought, if God would use me, instead of living a vain life in this visible, empty, decaying world, I want to live as a truly living person, proclaiming the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ, the God who is not yet visible to the eye, but is eternally certain, as a pastor. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." This word of God came to me with such vivid intensity, and I returned to Japan, where I remain to this day. Looking back now, I realize I possess a natural weakness in my faith. I'm prone to doubt, unwilling to believe unless I see with my own eyes or touch with my own hands, and prone to drifting away from God. I think God must have made me understand the existence of demons through my five senses, seeing, hearing, touching, so that I could never reject this revelation of God written in the Bible, the existence of God, or the person of Jesus. If evil spirits and Satan were to manifest visibly in this way, it would be easier to understand, in a sense, and dealing with them might not be so difficult. All one would need to do is command and pray, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan, depart. Your place is in the burning Gehenna." There would be absolutely no need to fear. But in most cases, as C.S. Lewis wrote in the Screwtape Letters and the Chronicles of Narnia, they hide in the shadows of human existence, never revealing themselves, controlling people's hearts from behind the scenes, without being detected. They move cunningly, sometimes feigning a wisdom, sometimes overflowing with humor, appearing to have ease and prosperity. They busily yet quietly stir, shaping the currents and atmosphere of this world, striving to build a world like the flimsy facade that has forgotten God. Therefore, it is impossible for us sinners, with our own abilities and wisdom, to accurately grasp His presence. Unless illuminated by God's help, by the intercession of the Holy Spirit, our true adversary remains unseen. We are currently studying the book of Zechariah in our early morning prayer meeting. The word in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 states, "Not by might nor by power, but my spirit." Just as the Lord said, because we cannot see it, because it hides in the shadows, we sinners endlessly mistake fighting against people for the true battle. But the Apostle Paul, guided by the Holy Spirit, teaches us, sees such a futile fighting. As those redeemed from a futile fighting, you must fight while keeping our eyes fixed on the true enemy. And for that, we need to arm ourselves. Paul teaches us, because sin dwells within us, making it easy to lose sight of our true enemy if left unchecked. We must arm ourselves to clearly identify our adversary and fight a proper battle. He urges us to keep the spiritual vision God has given us, remaining steadfast when attacked, and to continually wear the armor God has provided so we can strike accurately at the right target when we attack. In this world, conflict persists because people fight the wrong enemies, and the disputes never cease, involving each one of us. We will explore the specific nature of this armor in the future sessions, but if simply put, it consists of the words of Scripture and the prayer aligned with Scripture. Pray with the words of Scripture. Let the word of Scripture refine who I am. Hold a view of God aligned with Scripture. Understand the darkness and the reality of this world as Scripture reveals. Continually hear God's voice through Scripture. Kneel, break your heart, repent, and then love with the humble dignity of a child of God born from repentance. Forgiving, covering others instead of accusing them. This is the battle against the devil, not fought with the flesh and blood. Finally, I wish to conclude by reading the words of Jesus and the words of the Apostle Peter, who received Jesus' loving rebuke, "Get behind me, Satan." 1 John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. John chapter 15, verses 12 and 17. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. This is my command, love each other. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. And again, in John chapter 20, verse 23, Jesus says, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. It seems Jesus is teaching us not to mistake why we live, why we are kept alive, what purpose our life serves, and what God expects of us. I desire to resist the devil, who attacks with all his might to prevent me from living a life that sees others as objects of love rather than adversaries. We pray for the sake of loving. We feed on the word for the sake of loving. We worship for the sake of loving. We desire to be Christ's servants and disciples. Let us pray.